Well, happy Easter. It's good to see you all. Friends, it seems like a good day for a kid's story. So if you want to stay there, you can see on the screen, or if you want to come up closer, you can see better. Now, this isn't a religious book. I find that God speaks to us through all sorts of stories. But the theme is very close to perfect for today. And the book is called The End is Just the Beginning by Mike Bender and Diana Mayo. The end. That's right. You read it correctly. You've reached the end and the beginning. But wait, how can a book possibly start with the end? That's ridiculous. Well, prepare to have your mind blown, because the end isn't really the end. It's just the beginning of something else. Like this beautiful sunset. Sure, seems like the end of the day, right? Not so fast. You see, when the sun goes down, it's actually just the beginning of the night. When all the snow melts at the end of winter, that just means it's the beginning of spring. If you try to go to the ends of the earth, you'll actually just keep going back to the beginning, because the earth is one big circle. If you blast off in a rocket ship, you'll reach the end of the sky, otherwise known as the beginning of outer space. When you count, the end of one number is just the beginning of the next number, and so on and so on and so on, all the way to infinity, which, by the way, never ends. Even a sign that literally says dead end isn't an end at all. It's only just the beginning of whatever lies beyond it. So when you really think about it, the end is entirely endless. The end of a disagreement with someone is just the beginning of making up. The end of a mistake is just the beginning of learning something new. The end of being sick is just the beginning of feeling better. The end of dinner is just the beginning of dessert. And if you're really well behaved, the end of dessert might just be the beginning of more dessert. So tonight, when you turn off the lights and go to bed, don't think of it as the end of anything. Just think of it as the beginning of a new tomorrow full of possibilities. The beginning of discovering the next book. And it ends with a butterfly, which is just perfect for Easter. Thank you for listening to the story, Tony. Ultimately, that is the message of Easter. What everyone thought was the end of Jesus, his death, was only the beginning of new life. And in his death and resurrection, death is no longer the end for anyone. This is the good news. Even through death, we go with the love of Jesus and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we return to God from where we began. But ends becoming new beginnings is true in so many aspects of life, just like we saw in this book. God is always at work making new beginnings for us where we think we have come to an end. So remember that, guys. God is always at work, and God will not be stopped, not even by death. Well, this year we're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, so you'll get to hear his version of the resurrection story. I think Joyce is still serving breakfast at the Lions Club, so I'm going to go ahead and let Cindy click, because I can't read in click. But I'll go ahead and read it. It's like when I used to wear a tambourine on my foot in a band. It was a lot. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell the disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So in the Gospel of Matthew, the earth is an active participant, or at least an active reactant to God's movement. Not only is there an earthquake here to bust open the tomb, but the sun went dark when they hung Jesus. And when he cried his last breath, there was another earthquake. Now, an interesting thing that Matthew does when he's writing is he uses a word that actually means death when he's referencing how the guards react. It wasn't a fancy way or an extravagant way to say, well, they fainted. No, the word actually, they were like dead. And they were Roman soldiers. So in our story, they represent the empire of the world. And they are struck down when the reign of God rises up. The empires of the world may continue in their evil ways, maybe, but the reign of God has the last word. Jesus gets the last word. Now, the one thing that folks knew for certain in their time was the absolute permanence of death. That was a guarantee. The women had seen Jesus killed. They watched them stab him in the side, saw the proof of his death in the water and blood that came out. They watched as they placed him in the tomb and sealed it up. So they were coming to sit vigil at the tomb and ended up being the first preachers of the good news. But God decided death would not have the victory, and he resurrected Jesus. Death. Death. The thing we think of as such a final ending is now a beginning. How could this be? Back in the early 90s, before some of your time, there was a little movie that came out. You might remember it. It's called Jurassic Park. Now, it's been a minute since I've seen it. But there was a discussion in the movie among the scientists about the safety features they were putting into place. Remember, they were going to bring dinosaurs from the DNA and create this park with living dinosaurs. Probably not the best idea, but a great movie. Now, one of the scientists argued that if we only create female dinosaurs, then we have control. They're not going to procreate on their own. But the scientist, Ian Malcolm, who was played by Jeff Goldblum, isn't totally convinced that this is the security measure worthy of their confidence. And he breaks into this kind of halting speech, as he does, about the persistent nature of life. That, as a rule, life breaks free. life crashes through barriers. And so when they ask him point blank, well, do you think all female dinosaurs are going to breed on their own? He replies, no, I'm simply saying that life finds a way. Life finds a way. Life finds a way to break boundaries, go new directions, create new beauty. God is life. In the book Original Blessings by Matthew Fox, who's a priest and theologian, he talks about Dabhar. It's a Hebrew term that can be translated as word, as in the word, the capital W, word of God. It's the creative energy of God. It's the source of all the power of the universe. And he says, for Dabhar will not be kept down. God's energy will not be aborted. Creation will take place. There's nothing in the world that can stop God's creative energy. Not death, not war, not corruption, not human power, nothing. You can kill the ultimate presence of God's love in human form and hang him on a cross, but Dabhar will not be kept down. God's creative power raised Jesus from the dead. Nature is awesome. We get to see examples of resurrection in the form of restoration back to life on a small scale. And it reminds us of this promise of true resurrection. My mom is the instrument of resurrecting plants. That's just my term for it. Maybe you know someone like her. A plant is left for dead, either by me, in a pot, unwatered and abused, or very often dug out of a trash, and she takes it home. She lays hands on it, I'm assuming, and it comes back to life. The number of times I've asked her where she got this cute little plant, oh, they were throwing that away. I just took it home and put it in a new pot. It's amazing. I don't have the spiritual gift of a green thumb. I don't know what the opposite of a spiritual gift is. An unholy ineptitude, maybe? That might work. You get the idea. In the high deserts of Oregon and into the deserts of Nevada, in what's called the U.S. Great Basin Desert, swaths of land that were once wetlands became dry, barren, desolate. Harmed in part by grazing and farming, and exacerbated by only receiving 7 inches of rain a year, streams became simplified, and what they mean is they became straight and narrow, and therefore they ran faster and eroded more quickly, and they also evaporated faster. And they couldn't hold the moisture in the land to provide for the riparian plants that you typically see. But ecologists noticed in one area that beavers had moved in. And when they combined, the beavers making their dams, doing their thing, very strategic, and reducing the grazing next to the river's edge, the dam slowed the water, and the pools became wider and deeper, and could support more wildlife, could support more plant life. And over the course of maybe 5 or 10 years, the dry, desolate place has become a wetland again. And they've seen this. The ecologists took this idea and have restored places in the Florida, what used to be wetlands, which were farmed and drained and desolated. And instead of doing multi-million dollar restoration projects, they spent, you know, several hundred thousand, but not multi-millions, to trap beavers that were overrun in one area and release them, and they have done their work. Now, that might not qualify as a resurrection story to you, but it does to me. Because I define resurrection more than just life after death. That's the big one. We celebrate that today for sure. But the Dabar, the energy of God that will not be stopped, causes us to live into resurrections over and over again. If we only speak of God's actions in regard to life after this, then we've reduced the gospel message to something that's a transaction. If I believe, then I get to heaven. That's all I need. But what Jesus wants for us is a total transformation here in this life. We fall into all sorts of pits. We find ourselves in difficulties, in conflict, surrounded by a world that's full of evil actions. And if we only hold out for the time when we get to heaven, then we're not being disciples of Christ. Because Jesus calls his disciples to go and do good work, to help heal the world, to spread the good news of God's love to those who are hurting or discouraged or cast aside. I say God calls us to bloom. Jesus proclaimed that in him the reign of God had come near. Now, in the reign of God, there is no sickness. So people that got close to Jesus was healed. In the reign of God, there's no death. And he brought forward life from Lazarus. In the reign of God, there's no violence. So he corrects the disciple who, upon Jesus' arrest, uses a sword to cut off a soldier's ear, and then he heals the soldier's ear. Resurrection was just the final exhibition of God's reign, God's kingdom breaking forth into the world. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the people during a 70-year exile in Babylon. People who were enslaved, who were removed from their ancestral and spiritual home, people that were exploited, people who were vulnerable, and living in this abject poverty. Now, long before Mary Engelbreit coined the phrase, "bloom where you are planted," Jeremiah instructed the Israelites, "seek the welfare of the city where you are." And in seeking that, their own welfare would be ensured. He didn't give false promises that the exile would end early. He didn't give them a way out. A generation or more would pass before the end of that situation. Instead, he encouraged them to go through it, but with as much living as they could do. He essentially told them to hunker down and make the best of this situation. And I now like to think of him as the Mary Engelbreit of prophets. He might not appreciate that. But he told them, build houses, plant gardens, marry and have kids. In other words, bloom where you were planted. Opening to the energy of God that cannot be stopped allows life to break in even when we are in the midst of our tombs. When we're tempted to fall into despair, remember, the creative energy of God cannot be kept down. The ultimate show of this relentless, tenacious love of God is in the resurrection of Jesus our Christ. So let that love empower you to bloom for the goodness of the people around you, for the community where you find yourself. Let that love resurrect you from despair and grief and pain. Empires will rise and they will fall. But God's kingdom has already shown us that life wins. Love wins, even over death. Life finds a way. Happy Resurrection Sunday.